This evening, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We want to look at verses 12 through 19 this evening. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 through 19. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. There's been heretical teaching coming into the church where they're denying the authority of the resurrection of Christ and the fact that some are even believing that Jesus didn't rise from the dead, that he didn't need to, that if you would look at what was happening in the culture that the Corinthians were living in, they lived in Greek culture. Greek philosophy, if one would look at their view of many Greek philosophers and Grecian people in that culture, was that there was some type of a spirit or a soul that would live on, but the body would never be resurrected. And they viewed that the body was evil. And so why would you have a body if you wanted to have a righteous life? And so they said, why would you have a resurrected body? That was the Greek philosophy. Well, as we see in our own culture today, many of the philosophies of the culture permeate and come into the church and influence Christians, and they somehow believe things that are not in the Bible, and it impacts their understanding and their walk with the Lord. It impacts their ability to really comprehend the gospel in its fullness, and it also impacts their ability to be successful in accomplishing what God would have them do. We know in our own culture some of the things that have influenced us are the thought of the New Age movement, which is westernized Hinduism, the whole concept of contemplative prayer, which is merely Eastern meditation dressed up in Christian terms, and also many other things like one of the current things that's come in is Chrislam, where they're combining Islam with Christianity. And saying that it's they're both the same. And what it does is Satan's not so subtle way of coming against the authority of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. It comes against the purpose of the gospel, and it comes against what we really need to understand is why Jesus came. And when Satan does that, his whole intent is that we will not be effective in sharing the gospel because we won't have a clear message to share. That's what was happening in Corinth. And Corinth was greatly influenced by their culture around them. It's one of the things that we need to be aware of, that Satan does this in many forms and fashions, and especially in the day in which we live. We can be greatly influenced by media. We can be greatly influenced by television, movies, radio, music, just reading books that are not based upon Scripture. And so we need to be discerning in our spirits, and we need to understand why Paul is writing this message. Let's take a look and read these verses, verses 12 through 19. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say ye among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Let's just bow in prayer. Lord, I pray that you help us understand. These are pretty sharp words that the Apostle Paul is writing. But they need to be. And we need to understand that we need to not listen the vain philosophies of men and doctrines of demons that are incorporated and into the church to try and undermine our faith and make us ineffectual in sharing the gospel as we present a gospel that's not real. Lord, help us to understand the importance of the resurrection of Jesus. And Lord, I pray that you would just speak to us through your word this evening. This we'd ask in his name for your sake and glory. Amen. It's interesting, the songs that we picked tonight all dealt with the resurrection because of a purpose. The songs in them all spoke of the importance of the resurrection. The first song, Because He Lives, it talked about the hope and the faith that we have in God because Jesus lives. Christ the Lord is risen today. Alleluia. Speaks of the fact that Jesus is alive. He lives. Talks about that we serve a risen Savior. And I know He's alive because He's living in my heart. Christ arose. Speaks of really some of the arguments that people make. And yet it says, He did arise from the dead. He rose from the grave. He gained victory over death and sin. These are just a few songs that we sang that deal with the whole concept of the importance of the resurrection. As the Apostle Paul lays out his argument here, he begins by saying in verse 12, Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection from the dead? The first question that he addresses is, how can you say that you believe that Christ is the Son of God, that He is righteous and holy, that He has never sinned, that He doesn't lie, yet He rose from the dead and He says He rose from the dead? He proclaimed that fact to His disciples after His resurrection. He proclaimed to His disciples as He ascended into heaven that He was going to be with His Father and sit at the right hand of His Father in heaven. He talks through those that His Spirit reveals things to of the importance of His resurrection and the fact that He did rise. Now I want you to look at the two things that would happen if Jesus didn't rise. First of all, there would be no victory over sin. Okay? That would be a real problem. How is one saved from their sin if Jesus can't redeem us from our sin because He never rose from the dead and gained that victory? You see that Jesus paid the penalty for our sin with His death, and He gained victory over the power of sin in our lives with His resurrection. And that sin and death, their sting was silenced when He rose from the dead. It no longer had a hold on mankind like it once did. The second thing is He gained victory over death. Death is something we no longer have to fear, even though the Lord Himself tells us this physical body must perish and must pass away. For it says all men are appointed once to die, and then comes the judgment. But there's great hope in Christ. Because as Paul later says in chapter 15, which we'll be getting into next week, He is the first fruits of our resurrection in the sense that He rose from the dead as the one who gained the victory over death, and we likewise will rise from the dead, gaining victory over death as our bodies will be reunited with our souls and spirits, because the definition of death is separation. And it means, in physical death, it means our bodies are physically separated from our souls and spirit. Our souls and spirit live on, either with the Lord or awaiting a day of judgment in Hades. And the soul does not die. Whether you believe in Christ or don't believe in Christ, the soul is going to live. But it'll either live to face judgment or live with Jesus. And be face to face with Christ, as the song says at the end of our hymnal, at the point of death. But victory, total victory over death would not be there if our souls and spirits were not reunited with our bodies, showing that unity that God had created in the image of, in His image was there. And we're given new bodies, glorified bodies, which no longer bear the marks of sin and death. One of the problems you have as being born into this world is the minute you're born, you begin to die. And even the children, even though they're growing and maturing, and they have they are bigger than they once were and more muscular and have greater capacity in thinking and be able to control things more, yet they have, their body is in the process of dying already when they're born. You have cells that die, and we see that as you get older, you see the evidence of death creeping up on you more and more. I see that evidence every day in the mirror. I'm going, wow, where did this old guy come from? The thing is, we do begin to deteriorate and die. But the Bible tells us we don't have to fear death. And as Christians, we don't have to fear death because Christ gained victory over it with resurrection. But the more important thing is, he wouldn't be God if he hadn't risen from the dead, because he said he'd rise from the dead. His word prophesied he'd rise from the dead. He said that that was the way he was going to have ultimate victory over sin and death. And if he didn't, then he'd be a liar. And if he's a liar, he's not God. So that's the first thing that we need to examine in what Paul is saying here is, what does it mean if you say he didn't rise from the dead? Well, he addresses that in the following verses. He says, but if there be no resurrection from the dead, then is Christ not risen? Because if we can't rise, if God can't raise us from the dead, as he promised, then Christ wasn't risen either, because he said Christ was the first fruits. Well, first fruits need to be, to understand first fruits, when you would go into the field, the first fruits would be the first portion of the crop, of the fruit or the grain that would be taken. It would be the best portion, and it would be the one that the harvest that would be taken, and it would be offered to the Lord. There's a first fruit offering that God established back in the Old Testament for the nation of Israel. It was that they saw that God had given them this evidence of what was to come. There was going to be more. Well, the first fruits of resurrection means what? That there's going to be more. But if Jesus never rose from the dead, there is no more resurrection. Then you and I have no hope of being raised from the dead. Because Christ is not risen if there is no resurrection. And if Christ is not risen, then is our preaching in vain, and your faith is also in vain. Now, what he's saying is, if the gospel is true, then Jesus has to rise from the dead. But if Jesus did not rise from the dead, then the gospel is empty and it has no meaning. Because there is no hope to gain victory over death and sin. And he says, also, our hope, our faith, is in vain, because we'd be hoping in something that never happened. But the thing is, it did happen. And Paul addressed that in the beginning of this chapter, where he talked about all the people that had seen Jesus rise from the dead. And last Easter, I think it was, last Resurrection Sunday, I preached on that a little bit and talked about the evidence for Christ's resurrection. I talked about some people. There's some famous lawyers that were atheists/agnostics that did not believe in the Bible, did not believe in the resurrection. They were going to go out and prove that Jesus did not rise from the dead from all the evidence that was there. By the time they gathered evidence and laid it all out, they became believers in Jesus Christ, because the evidence was so overwhelming. They said, if I was preparing a case and I had this type of evidence, my case would be won, because it's there. It's real. You can't deny it. You can't deny the witnesses. You can't deny the events. You can't deny even, they talked about things like the Pharisees and Sadducees talked about the fact of the resurrection of Christ and tried to silence it. They tried to make it so that people wouldn't believe it. And they said that it was seen even by the Roman culture. And it was, for example, there were people that talked about it. Historians talked about the fact that Jesus had risen from the dead. The evidence is all there. And so he said, you build this case, how can you deny the resurrection? And he became a believer in Christ. Well, the Apostle Paul says that's why if you deny the resurrection of Christ, you have no basis for your faith. And if we're going to have faith as Christians, number one, it needs to be the fact that God is a God who delivers on His Word, and He said He's going to allow us to rise from the dead. Job, when he spoke of what would happen, he said one day he would look upon Him who redeemed him, he would look upon the Lord, and he fully expected to rise from the dead one day. He knew he was going to die, but he also expected to rise from the dead. He expected to be in God's presence, not only spiritually, but physically. And we see others that believe the same thing in the Old Testament. And look to that. Abraham, look to the promises. Abraham believed the promises of God that God gave him. Yet during Abraham's lifetime, very few of those promises were delivered in Abraham's lifetime. He never saw a great nation come from his womb, from his loins. He never saw this land that God told him to go up on the mountain and look out over as far as he could, and that this was his inheritance. He never saw that happen. All he had, if you look at what Abraham owned at the time of his life on earth, he owned this burial plot, which is now next in Hebron in Israel, and he purchased that from a Canaanite man. And we see that's all he owned during his lifetime, yet he believed that God was going to give him this inheritance. Well, how could it happen unless he would rise again from the dead and inherit it? And we see that he believed it. And so Paul tells him, if you don't believe in the resurrection, you don't have any of the right kind of faith, because your faith is empty. It has no purpose. It has no meaning. But if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is in vain. Your faith is also in vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God. He's saying then we've become liars, because Paul came, and what he did is he said what he preached. He said, I came and I preached the fact that Jesus came and died on the cross according to the Scriptures. And He was buried and rose again the third day. What? According to the Scriptures. This is what Paul preached. He preached the resurrection of Christ. So he's saying, if Christ didn't rise from the dead, I'm a liar. And my message isn't true. And you shouldn't listen to it. But it's the heart of our hope, and it's the heart of God's Word, and it's the heart of the truth of God's Word. And then he goes, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. So he's saying, we have testified of what God said. But if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then, I mean, if there is no resurrection, then Jesus didn't rise from the dead, and what we've testified that God said is false. And if God lies, then He's not God, because God is truth. And so Paul is laying out this argument that they need to understand what it means when you deny the resurrection of Christ. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised? If there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. That is, it's empty. It has no meaning. It has no purpose if Jesus didn't rise from the dead. Ye are yet in your sins. And this is a key note here. What enables our sins to be forgiven? The fact that Jesus lives. What makes Jesus different from Muhammad? Different from the Hindu gods? Different from the New Age gurus that proclaim themselves to be God? Different from the Jesus of the Mormons, and different from the Jesus of the Seventh-day Adventists, and different from the Jesus of the other false religions. Because this Jesus fulfills God's Word. He's the true Son of God, and He rose again from the dead. And Paul says here that, for if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised? And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, and ye are yet in your sins. You're still a sinner, because there's no one that's really paid the penalty for your sins. Muhammad died. He didn't pay the penalty for anybody's sins. Confucius died. He didn't pay the penalty for anybody's sins. But Jesus died, and in dying he took our sins upon himself, but the victory over sin and death was accomplished at his resurrection, because it could not keep him in the grave. And all the false gods are in their graves today, but Jesus is alive. And that enables us to have our sins forgiven, because he took those sins and fulfilled that power over them. Then they also, which are fallen asleep in Christ, are perished. Now that, what he's saying by fallen asleep, he's saying those that died and said they're Christians, well then they're just in the grave. There's no hope. And then he makes a comment that is very, very disturbing if you don't want to believe in the resurrection and the power of the gospel. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we of all men are most miserable. Now what does he mean by that? Well, if we say that Jesus really didn't rise from the dead, and we're saying that Jesus came only as a good teacher, and he came only as a great philosopher, and he came only to help us live better, and he came to say, okay, do unto others as you do would have them do unto you, and so it only happens while you're in this life, and I'm just going to help you live a little better now, but guess what happens? Our sins aren't forgiven, and then we're living a life that is meaningless because there's no purpose to it. And he's saying we're of all men are most miserable because we're living a life as if we're going to be spending eternity with God, but there's no power in our belief system because it can't take away our sins, so we can't spend eternity with God. So then what's the point? Why not just take the world's philosophy, eat, drink, and be merry for tomorrow I die. I may as well live the way I want to today because tomorrow death comes. But we know that that isn't the case. But if you say that Jesus didn't rise from the dead, you're really saying he's not God, you really don't have faith, and there really is no hope beyond the grave. But we know that there's hope beyond the grave, there's deliverance from sins, Jesus rose from the dead, God's word is true, and we shall rule and reign with him eternally. We will have resurrected bodies like his, and we shall have a glorified body as Christ's body was glorified, and our souls and spirits shall be reunited on that day, and it'll be what a day that will be. And he's saying here, the choice is, do you believe it or don't you? And he's really challenging the Corinthians, don't bring Greek philosophy into your Christian beliefs, because it makes you miserable. You see, it can't give you the deliverance that you need to have in Christ. Don't bring the philosophies, the New Age, the 20th century ways that Satan is doing the same thing, and try and combine them into our Christian beliefs to appease the world and to make people feel good. No, because it'll make you most miserable. You can't do it. Either you believe in Christ and that he is who he says he is, or you don't believe in him. Those are the choices. You can't make this hybrid Christianity to appease the world. And that's what Paul is saying. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to understand this, help us to apply this to our life, and help us to see the power of the resurrection. It's at the heart of the gospel. And without the resurrection, we have no hope. For in the resurrection, you gain victory over sin and death. And we no longer have to fear them, for we are yours. Be with us now and help us to be able to share the truth of that message with others. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing, if you turn to 437. And the reason that we can know who holds tomorrow is because of the power and the authority of the gospel. I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't